good morning, church, or good afternoon or evening, depending on when you are watching this. We are now in week two of doing FPC Church at Home, and this is my first time self-recording a sermon. And to be quite honest, it feels very different. It's a little unsettling. Feels a bit weird. Maybe it would help if I put some pictures of you all behind the camera so I could see your faces while doing this. Or then again, that might just make it even more weird. But I assume that this also feels different for you, and that's okay to say, and it's okay to be honest about what you're feeling, about what we are experiencing and going through. The reality is life is different now, and that affects everything we do. Our normal rhythms and routines, all of this may feel disrupted by COVID-19, from how we do church to school to work and play and how we connect with one another. Not only that, we also have a whole new set of vocabulary like flattening the curve, self-quarantine, pandemic. We also have new guidelines and practices like social distancing and washing your hands. Such a new practice, right? Recently, I've seen this quote that's been circulating around these last few weeks, and I feel it to be timely and appropriate for some of the things that I'm feeling and maybe we're feeling. And it's from the Fellowship of the Ring, and Gandalf is talking to Frodo, and they're just being honest about what they are feeling. They're being honest with the reality of the difficult circumstances that they were facing. And so Frodo says, "I wish it need not have happened in my time." "So do I," said Gandalf, "and so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us. All we have to decide is what to do with the time given us." This has resonated with me the last couple weeks, and just thinking about what I am, what we are doing with our time. And as a church, as followers of Jesus, I think it's important in what we are doing with this time. And part of that is just naming those feelings I was talking about and just sharing them and talking about them with others, with yourself and with God. And again, as followers of Jesus, it's important that we decide what to do with the time given us, what we do with this time. How during this time we can stay rooted in Jesus and growing in his love and branching out to serve others, which may look different than it did a month ago. Also, how with our time we can encourage and how we can pray for one another, how we can check up on each other, how we can worship and serve and love each other. And I believe that in doing so, in doing these things, that we can take steps from fear to faith and from worry to worship. But in the meantime, while we are doing church differently, I believe that this is a great opportunity to try some new, or maybe new for you, practices and things regarding worship. And so I want to invite you into something a bit different today. I'm going to do a call to worship from Psalm 46, and then follow it up with a time of contemplative prayer focused on verse 10. "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." And so after I read Psalm 46, I'll pray the psalm, or that one verse, in five consecutively diminishing sentences. And after each sentence, there will be a time for pause, for stillness, and for silence. And then I'll end it by amen. So our call to worship, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Will you pray with me? Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. Amen.
Some of you are watching in the middle of this worship service that's been put together, and you're about to hear some more from Jason and this amazing journey with Peter and Jesus, all the adventures, all the risks, all the ups and downs. But some of you will just be listening to this separate, and I just want to talk for a minute about giving and talk about this reality. The first thing when I think about giving and finances here at First Press, I'm just grateful. And you need to know that. People have been faithfully giving over the years here, and I don't doubt that that'll continue. But I do want to just say a few things. One, thank you for giving faithfully. We have ended many years with positive cash flow, and I'm just grateful for our stewardship and finance leaders, for our elders, for some of the decisions that have been made about how to use that money, how to bless people with that money, how to help other things happen, how to pay down our loan, how to put some things in reserves. So thank you to all of you who've been giving faithfully for so many years, and more recently, thank you to our leaders for making great decisions. We would be lying if we said here at First Press we were right at the edge of financial struggle. We have reserves. We have some wonderful opportunities for this unknown season because we have been faithful stewards, and many people have made, again, great decisions long before I got here 15 years ago. So I just want to start with that reality, and really it's not just about people giving and leaders making good decisions. It's about God's provision. God has faithfully provided. He always does for his people, but I feel like as we have been willing to trust him and give away what he's blessed us with, he continues to bless us even more. So I want to just take this opportunity to thank you and to assure you that we'll continue to make good financial decisions as faithful as we can be. And we might need to take some risks and take a deep breath and use some of the reserves that God has blessed us with. We don't know, but we do want to faithfully continue our ministry, even though some of that will look different for the next several weeks, maybe a few months. We want to continue supporting our mission partners who are on the front lines, also uncertain, also trusting God to provide. And so we want to continue that as we have. We want to continue supporting our staff that continues to work to make things like this available. We'll reallocate some of our staff resources as far as what we invest our time in and what we use our leadership for to make some new things happen, to help some existing things happen or happen well or happen even in different, better ways. But we need you to keep giving, and I just want to encourage you to help us remain strong in our ministry. I know that for some of us, myself included, many financial realities won't change. Paychecks will continue to come in, but for others, this change, this new territory, brings not only uncertainty, but diminishing resources. And I just want to say, God understands, and the wonderful thing about God's plan for giving is it's always been proportional. We give in proportion to what we've been given. And so there's no worry. There's nothing that you need to hear more than just grace, that God understands, we understand, and people will have to adjust. As you adjust, just know that God is going to meet your needs. He's going to continue to meet our needs. And I do believe that this is where, to kind of cheat into Jason's sermon, we are asked to step out to unknown waters and just trust that God's going to be with us there. We don't have to get anxious. We continue to trust him and faithfully give. So, as you know, there are many ways to give here, and I'm told that just every single one of those giving avenues gets used by a host of people. So some people mail in their offering on a regular basis. That's what you do, and so you can keep doing that. That'll work just fine. Some of you do electronic funds transfers, and that'll continue to work. Now, we've gone from online giving, I'm told, from just $2,000 or $3,000 a month when we initially started it 5 or 6 years ago to several thousand dollars every month. So again, you can give online. If you haven't done that, I encourage you to just go on our website and literally just click the giving button and see if that's a way that you can start giving in a new way, if that makes it easier for you. But we'll continue just to trust that the offerings are going to come in lots of different ways. The one way it won't come in is by passing plates. We are not going to be passing plates. And so if that's how you normally give, you might consider trying the online option or mailing in your offering or maybe calling the church office to find out about electronic funds transfers. So lots of ways to give. I actually went on our website last night. It really is easy, even for someone like me who is afraid of technology. You click two buttons, and they'll take you from there. So, but it's more than just we need money to be strong in ministry. Giving is actually an act of worship. So I'm going to ask all of us to continue worshiping in this new season in new ways. But every time we give, to think about it as an act of worship. If we can't be in here worshiping together, we can be out there worshiping as we give. And it's not just giving our finances, it's giving our time, it's giving our prayers. Now, I want to encourage you to keep praying for your kid through the FPC Praise ongoing ministry. I don't know what week you're in, but this last week has been praying for laughter in the life of my kid. And we need to be able to laugh in the midst of real difficulties as well. So this is an act of worship, giving is. Many other acts of worship. And finally, I want to say what I just believe is already true, but if we are going to be rooted in Jesus, growing in his love, which I believe we are, even in this season, and maybe more in this season than ever, we have to keep branching out to serve others. And so we give not only to First Press, but people at First Press give to this community. They give beyond this community. And right now, you know people in our community who need to be supported, businesses, nonprofits, individuals. And so I encourage all of us to find ways to give of our time, of our resources, of our finances. And if there's a particular organization that you already support, talk to God about giving more to that organization. Encourage them by continuing to give or giving extra in this season of need. For many, many people, not just churches, but nonprofits and many businesses, they do not have reserves. They have not had faithful giving over the years that's been sort of put away for times like this. They are on the edge from month to month of surviving. So, First Press, give to First Press. But give beyond First Press. And let's continue to trust that as we step out in faith, we don't need to be afraid, that God will continue to give to us. Let me pray for us and for our community and for the gifts that even now are coming in. Lord Jesus, thank you for all that you've given to us. Thank you that you demonstrated your generous love in that while we were still sinners, you died for us. You came to us. And it is that example of generosity that fuels us to be generous, faithful people. Lord, thank you for all those who give at First Press. Every person who gives any amount, bless all the gifts received. Bless them as they're given back out into the community and world. Thank you for the way that our staff have been and will be supported. And God, we pray for those doing mission, doing ministry, doing real important work in our community, God, that you would support them through us and others, that you would carry them through this very uncertain time. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.
And so during this Lenten season, we have been on a walk. We have been walking with Peter as he journeys with Jesus, as Jesus is journeying to the cross. But Peter doesn't know that's where they're headed yet. And on this journey, as we're walking with Peter, we see him as he goes through these ups and these downs. We walk with him through moments of victory and moments of defeat. We walk with him through moments of faith and moments of fear. And some of the important truths we have learned so far on our walk with Peter that Tom shared with us the last few weeks are that there's a grace-filled learning curve when it comes to following Jesus. That Jesus and his word have authority that demands a response one way or another. And that Jesus often calls us to simply trust him and to try again. To trust him and to try again. And last week, Tom talked about Peter and the fear of the Lord and what that is and what that isn't. But the main point being, and what Jesus is saying to Peter and Jesus is saying to us, is do not be afraid. Fear not. Do not be afraid. And these are the same words we hear again from Jesus in our passage this week. And I believe that they are so relevant for us now. They are words that we need to hear and be reminded of. To fear not and do not be afraid. And so our walk with Peter this week gets really exciting as Peter experiences and does something that no other human has ever done or that I know of. And that is he walked on water. And so let's walk with Peter as we look at our passage in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 23. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And so, it had been a long day for Jesus and his disciples. If you look at the previous passage, we see that Jesus had just done this extraordinary miracle of multiplying loaves and fishes and fed well over 5,000 people. And so now Jesus sends his disciples to go on ahead of him, to get in the boat and to go across the lake. And what does Jesus do? He goes to a quiet place, a place of solitude, a place on the mountainside, and he prays. And he spends time with God, his Father. And I see this as just another reminder, an example of the importance of prayer, of stillness, and solitude with God. And the thing is, if Jesus did it and needed it, how much more important is it for us to do also? And so now we see it's 3 or 4 in the morning, and the disciples are pretty far from land in the boat. They're being faced with some stormy conditions, rowing and paddling against the wind and the waves, and they're not getting anywhere fast. Now, our passage doesn't say it, but I imagine that they're tired, that they're exhausted from the previous day, and also they've been rowing all night against the winds and the waves, and they're not getting too far. I imagine that they even felt a bit afraid, as they knew that things could quickly go south, out on the water. And I don't know exactly what they were thinking or feeling, but I have a general idea. Every couple of years, my brother and a few other guy friends, we go on a backcountry canoe trip in Canada to a place called Algonquin Provincial Park. And this place is beautiful. It's a series of lakes and streams and marshes that is canoe access only. And you canoe across, and you get to land, and you portage all your gear across. And there's been times when we've been on these trips, and some of these lakes are so big, and we've been out on the lake, and the wind picks up. And all of a sudden, there are waves that are 2 to 3 feet high, which may not seem a lot, but when you're in a small canoe in a really big lake, it feels terrifying. And you're tired, and you're exhausted because you're not getting anywhere as you're paddling against the wind and the waves, and you're doing everything you can to stay forward and in line with the waves, to not turn sideways where you might capsize. And so I have a little idea of what they might be experiencing. And so Jesus is back on one side of the lake, and his disciples are in the middle of the lake, and Jesus thinks, I should go to my disciples. And of course, this is no problem for Jesus. He figures, I'll just walk on water to them. And so now the disciples weren't afraid. We see that they're now terrified, as they're not only fighting against the wind and the waves, but now they see what appears to be a person walking on water. That's impossible. No one has ever done that. What is going on? And we see that they cried out in fear. It's a ghost. We're doomed. It probably wasn't too funny for them. But here, it's where I believe that in some way we can find ourselves in the story. Find ourselves with Peter and the disciples all in the same boat. Feeling caught in the storm, pondering the what-ifs and the unknowns. Feeling that fear that's rising up in us as we're faced with difficult circumstances. Feeling those feelings of tiredness and exhaustion. And then seeing things that just don't make sense. And I think it's important to point out here that the disciples, they find themselves in this situation essentially because they were just following Jesus and his instruction for them to get in the boat and go on ahead of him. And for me, this is a good reminder that obedience and following Jesus is not a guarantee that exempts us from trials or troubles or difficult circumstances. In fact, it can be quite the opposite at times, right? John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And that means that even in the storms which we will encounter, and we will, and even in the unknown or the difficult circumstances that we will face, we need to be reminded that God is with us always, and to not be afraid. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And so how do we overcome fear? How do we move from fear to faith? What keeps us from trusting Jesus, from getting out of the boat and coming to him? Like Peter, we are in the same boat with those same lingering questions. But if you remember, Peter didn't just stay in a boat. Peter didn't just stay paralyzed by fear. But we see that Peter walked. He walked out of the boat. He walked onto the water. And he walked toward Jesus. And so as we walk with Peter in this passage, I believe we can find answers to some of those questions, along with the courage to move from fear to faith. And from this passage, I want to highlight a message of comfort, a message or a word of challenge, and a choice. A message of comfort, a word of challenge, and a choice. And so today's teaching is brought to you by the letter C. So a message of comfort. In the midst of this stormy weather and fear and all that's happening, the disciples see a figure walking across the water. And immediately they jump to the worst case scenario. It must be a ghost. Ah! I mean, isn't that just like us? We often make our fears greater than they are, and then we feed into them. And the more we feed them, the more we grow, and the more we are overtaken by them. I mean, we all know and we've seen how this leads us then to fear-based decisions and reactions, like buying 100 rolls of toilet paper. And if you did that, I'm not judging. That's okay. And so how do we handle the real or perceived fear we encounter? Where do we start? Well, it starts with the first line in our mission statement. It starts by being rooted in Jesus. It starts by knowing Him and knowing the truth of His Word, that He is faithful to His promises. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Another way of reading it is, take courage. I am. Fear not. We see that Jesus uses this title here, I am, and this is the divine self-revelation. It is what we read in Exodus when God tells Moses to tell his people, I am sent you. It's what we read in Isaiah 43 that says, but now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God. I am with you. Take courage. I am. Fear not. This is a message of comfort for the disciples, for Peter, and for us, because it's a proclamation of presence, of God's presence, the ever-present God who is always with us. And what I find comfort in is that it's not I was or I will be, but it's I am with you. And Jesus is saying to Peter and the disciples, and he's saying to us that I am present with you right now, right here, always. I am present with you whatever you are going through, wherever you are facing, whatever you are feeling, I am with you. Do not be afraid. And in our current times, even as we have to socially distance ourselves from one another, remember that God does not socially distance himself from us. He is not the God who is far away or out there, but he is the God who draws near to us. He is the God who is with us always and whose love never fails. I love Romans 8, and Romans 8 reminds us that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation, and that, I add, includes pandemics, coronavirus, self-quarantine, social distancing, nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So take courage. I am is with you. Do not be afraid. It is when Peter knew and when Peter believed it was Jesus walking on the water that he was able to move from fear to faith. from being in a boat to walking on the water toward Jesus. And here is where we find the challenge. The challenge. We see in verse 28, it says, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Jesus challenges Peter to come to him. "Peter, come to me. I know this seems impossible. I know that you are afraid. I know that there's a lot of things that are going on and that are distracting you. But keep your eyes on me. Keep focused on me. Trust me. I am with you. Take the steps of faith and come." This is as much a challenge to Peter as it is to us. That in the midst of a storm, whatever that may be, or when faced by the unknown and seemingly impossible, or when fear is all around us and we are exhausted and weary, or when we feel anxious or worried, Jesus challenges us to come to him. So Jesus challenges Peter, challenges us to come, to step out of the boat, to step in faith and to come to him. And here's the thing about faith. Faith isn't something that grows by just merely trying harder. It's not, "Oh, next time I'll just work harder, I'll do better, I'll grow in my faith." Faith grows by being rooted in Jesus. It grows by growing in his love. It grows by knowing God. John Ortberg puts it this way, "Because God is faithful, the better you know him, the more you will trust him. The way to get to know him and his trustworthiness is to risk obeying him." So will we obey him? And that leaves us with a choice. That third part I want to highlight in our passage, a choice. We see that Peter chooses to obey and to step out in faith and walk toward Jesus. And for a little while, he walks on water. He does the impossible. But we see things change pretty quickly. We see that Peter takes his eyes off Jesus and he chooses to focus on the storm and the problems that are surrounding him. We see how he goes from fear to faith and then faith to fear. I mean, that's a roller coaster that we've all been on. And fear and faith, this is a daily battle that we have and encounter in our lives. And eventually one will win over the other. And so what we choose to focus on will be the deciding factor. For faith to win, we need to choose to focus on Jesus. As Hebrews 12 reminds us, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. On the contrary, if we choose to focus on fear, it will sink us every time. Fear will consume us and overwhelm us. Fear disrupts faith and becomes the biggest obstacle to trusting and obeying God. And so we have to make a choice. What will we choose to focus on? Will we focus on the fear and the troubles we face? Or will we focus on Jesus, the one who is the King of Glory? The one who is Lord of all, the one who is the Savior of the world, that nothing, that no person, no place, or pandemic can take away his goodness, his love, his grace over us. He can't take away his glorious promises to his beloved sons and daughters. And so with Peter, we can see how easily fear can sink us. As Peter chose to take his focus off of Jesus, he began to sink. And he cries out, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." I love what Dale Bruner says here. He says, "Lord, save me is the cry of both the strong disciple and the miserable sinner. What then is the lesson? To the believing one, Jesus gives a share in his power. To the doubting and sinking one, he stretches out his helping hand." And we see that Jesus does it immediately. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand. And that's not to say that our immediate difficulties or troubles will go away. But it reminds us that when we are in need and when we come to Jesus, he is immediately there and he will help. Jesus saves first and asks questions later. We see this. He says, "You have little faith, Peter. Why did you doubt?" Now, there's been different translations or understandings of this, and personally, I don't see this as Jesus shaming Peter or putting him down. But instead, I see this as Jesus is urging Peter to continue to grow in his faith, to stay focused on him. I mean, imagine, Peter's little faith enabled him to step out of the boat in the midst of difficult circumstances. His little faith enabled him to walk on water, even if it was just for a little bit. I mean, this means, or this tells us, that he was capable of even greater sustained faith. Which also means that we are capable of greater sustained faith if we choose to stay focused on Jesus. And lastly, we have another choice to make. We can choose to worship instead of worry. We can choose to worship instead of worry. Verse 33 says, "Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly you are the Son of God.'" We see how Peter and the rest of the disciples in the boat went from worrying about their circumstances to worshiping Jesus, the Son of God, the one who is I am, the one who is with us. And the thing is, when we choose to worship instead of worry, especially in the face of fear, we experience joy and we experience peace. And so as we continue walking with Peter and following Jesus, may we be comforted by Jesus' promise to always be with us. May we take the challenge to come to him and to not be afraid. And may we choose to focus on him and to move from fear to faith and from worry to worship. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that even as we might feel distant from one another, God, that you are not distant from us, that you are with us. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for all these things that remind us of your love, of your grace, of the strength that you give us, of the peace that you give us. And so, God, we ask that you be with us. Be with us daily. Be with us in our thoughts. Be with us in our struggles. Be with us. Remind us that you are with us. Remind us that you are in control. God, help us to step out in faith. Help us to respond to your challenge to come to you. And God, help us to choose to focus on you. We love you, Jesus. We pray all of this in your name. Amen.